to a well-designed business. My name is Luann Nigara, and I'm so glad you found this podcast. Together with my husband, Vince, and our partner, Bill, we have grown our company, Window Works, from the ground up. So I know and I understand the challenges you face in running your interior design business. I also know that your talent alone isn't enough to ensure your success. So on this podcast, we talk about strategies and practical steps to help you grow your business. But make no mistake about it, we have our share of fun here too, mixed in with those aha moments that I love so much. This isn't fluff. Nobody has time for that. Whether you are a new interior designer or a seasoned designer, I am here to help you create and to manage the kind of interior design firm that you dream of. It's straight talk and it's action. Are you ready? Let's get started. Hi, welcome to A Well-Designed Business. Today, Karen Wolf joins me. Karen is the owner and principal of Karen B. Wolf Interiors, located in New Jersey. Karen leads a team of talented women whose passion for interior design, combined with her 10-plus years experience, have together created a successful firm with a roster of loyal clients. Karen's a triple threat. She has an education in fine arts, marketing, and trend analysis, and this combination gives her the knowledge and vision which she needed in order to build her successful design business from the ground up. Karen's work has been featured in a number of regional and national publications, as well as being featured on NBC's national television show, George to the Rescue. Today, Karen is going to talk to us about how she jumped into immediate action at the outset of the COVID-19 crisis. With her background in marketing, she knew she needed to, as she says, double down or drown. And spoiler alert, Karen wasn't going down and she did not drown. Looking forward to sharing this with you. Kravit is another exceptional business, always innovating and always staying ahead of the curve. For a 100-plus-year-old company, they are super comfortable with tech-focused initiatives and features, just like their popular workroom visualization tool, which is now available on the Lee Jofa workroom furniture. You can build your own unique piece and see it rendered before your eyes on the screen, right? So now, with the Lee Jofa workroom program, you can design and see your final product before purchasing it. This is pretty awesome. To try it and to see for yourself, go to Kravit.com/Lee Jofa. That's Kravit.com/LeeJofa. All right, let's meet Karen. Hi, Karen. Thanks for joining me on A Well-Designed Business today.
Hi, Luann. Thanks so much for having me. I've been so excited to come onto this show.
Me too. I mean, it's fun when I get somebody, a Jersey girl, on the show with me, and you are a Jersey interior designer. And so it's, just a little level of extra for me that I enjoy.
It's extra. It's just so comfortable. You're literally 10 minutes away from me. So I feel like I know you even extra more because your locality
exactly.
is literally in my backyard.
I know. And what's interesting is for me is I was following you and aware of you on social for quite a while before we even connected. And and the reason for that was because you do a good job marketing yourself. Like it's noticeable, and the work is amazing, and it comes off elevated and luxury, all the things that you are. And so it was very interesting to me when you suggested the idea for your conversation today to be about marketing. And I thought, well, yes, like that is something that I've always actually noticed about your firm, Karen. So what is your philosophy on marketing, and what do you think is, some of the things that yourself and your colleagues are facing? And of course, now we're in the middle of COVID-19 as we record this, and that adds a whole new layer of things. So talk to us about what your philosophies are.
So I feel that designers need to be marketing themselves. And I don't even think this is an I feel. I'd say this is a fact that designers need to be marketing 25% of the time. And that's a lot. So if you think about your given week or day, if, you're running a business, you're marketing, you're doing design work, that's literally one quarter of what you should be doing is marketing. And marketing can be in so many different ways, shapes, and forms, and we're going to get into that. But it is critical, and I happen to come from a marketing background. So when I started the business, my mindset was on marketing, which is probably why, you know, you notice that, because it comes through. It's something that is more natural to me, but it's not natural for everyone. And I think that hopefully today we can cover some of the tactics that maybe, you know, most people can handle, even if you don't have the in-house staff or the capabilities. So my basic feeling is that you need to double down on marketing or drown, and especially now with COVID.
I agree 100%. And, you know, it's interesting because this is reminding me of the podcast episode right off the bat with Elisa Grayer, who is a Connecticut interior designer, Karen. And she was on the show a year ago, and she came on the show, and in the episode, she was telling me how after 19 years in business and going from, I want to say, a 2 million plus firm, at that point, year to date in 2019, it was like May, June that we were recording, she was at roughly $100,000 in gross sales. And I was like, what? And as we discussed it and we broke it down, she said that when she took it apart and analyzed it, she realized that for 19 years in business, she never executed an actual marketing plan. There was no marketing effort, to your point, to keep always bringing new eyeballs onto her business, right?
Yeah. So I know Alyssa, and I think she's fabulous. And I listened to that episode as well, and I really connected to the vulnerability that she showed and the honesty that she had with your viewers and with herself and where she was at in her status as an interior designer and her ability to bring in lead generation. But I think she's on fire now. I mean, I can't say that per se. But
I can tell you personally. Yeah. No, we just did a huge five-figure project for her in the Hamptons last week. Like, she is on fire. She is, her firm is up and rocking. And I said that to her. I knew she was going to bounce back. Right?
She's a great person.
Absolutely.
And she took the time and she did it and she rolled up her sleeves and she did not say, you know, I'm too big for this or I'm better than this. She looked the problem in the eye and she took hold of it and she tackled it. And I thought that was fabulous.
100% agree with you.
And I think that the pipeline, you know, fulfilling our pipeline is always the designer's biggest fear. And you've talked about it in other ways. And many of us take on projects that we shouldn't be taking on at non-ideal clients. But keeping the pipeline coming in from multiple streams and multiple avenues is really, really critical so that you can choose who your projects are going to be and who you want to be working with.
That's so true. It's such a simple statement, especially based on 560 plus episodes at this point. It seems so obvious to say, but I love it, Karen, that keeping a full pipeline is a designer's biggest fear, and that you need to do it from multiple revenue and avenues, I mean, because that gives you the ability to choose the best projects from. That's awesome. That's such a great, clear statement. And you see, I love when I talk with experienced business owners like yourself, because it's the truth. That kind of clarity is just so dead on.
I mean, I can't say I always live to that standard, and I wish I did. There are times where I go backwards, but I keep that in my mindset all of the time. You know, and every time I get myself into trouble, I say, it is not the right client. I took the wrong job. It's only my fault, right? But it comes from fear.
Yeah.
And that fear would be less, you'd have less of that fear if you knew you had multiple avenues to bring in all of these potential leads. And so that's kind of what I did when COVID hit. When COVID came around, and unfortunately we're in COVID now and we may be in it in 6 months, who knows, but my guess is that we will be. And, you know, I looked at the problem and I said to myself, am I going to let this take over me, or am I going to confront it? And when I looked at the problem, I said to myself, COVID's not the problem. The problem is that I don't market anymore. And as good of a marketer that I am, which I know that I am because I started that way, I am not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I've had projects on my plates that I wanted to do that had to do with marketing for 2 years, and I kept making excuses. Things like, I'm too busy. I don't necessarily know. I'm not really the right person for Instagram. You know, there's so many people that just have it. Maybe I'm not that. There's a million reasons. Financial, you have to spend money to do marketing. Not all of it's expensive, but you still have to make the investment. And I think not for me, but for many people, some designers just don't think of themselves as marketers. I didn't have that issue. But some designers do. So those were some of the main obstacles and roadblocks that I was thinking about at the time and kind of had to overcome, simply because I wasn't going to let my business go down the drain because of a disease that might get me physically, but wasn't going to get my business.
Mm. It's the truth. You know what? My husband said the same thing. He said, after 39 years in business, I hate to say this out loud because, oh, God forbid, people have lost their lives, but it's the same thing. He goes, I will go down fighting before I, he goes, there's no way. We're just not going to lose this business no matter what. And it does take that regroup, right, Karen, that you did.
Absolutely.
And we did the same thing at Window Works. We had meeting after meeting at the beginning, like here we have almost 100K budget for advertising and marketing at Window Works, and we were still sitting there week after week in those first 4 or 5 weeks going, what else can we do? How else can we do it? Where out of the box can we go? Because it was that. You needed to come out of the gate swinging. And I don't know about you. I haven't learned yet where you're at. But like, we are back to shooting for our original 2020 revenue goals, because it's everything that was in place beforehand plus all the extra that we did because we were scared to death. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I was absolutely scared to death. And we're completely on target, if not above, thank gosh.
Yeah.
And I really attribute it to being present and being out there, especially when all the eyeballs were ready to accept content and material. Mm-hmm. And I knew that. And so I didn't want to let, it was with a sense of urgency that I acted. But even if there is less sense of urgency, even this, if this is a year from now, the bottom line is that you have to be present in your business and you have to market, and people need to see you at least 3 to 6 times to remember you. So there's no two ways around it. And most of the time they need to see you from multiple avenues. So it's not just one medium. It's not just one platform. It's multiple platforms.
I agree. And that, you know, that is a total tenet of marketing. It's they say 7 times, right? So 3 to 6, you know, great. But, you know, my
seven
brain
is even better.
Yes. It's like the seventh time. Oh, I never heard of you before. It's like, okay. You know, and I know that right here in Livingston, where we do business, I've had situations. I had this, I talked about it a few months ago on the podcast. I happened to go on a sales appointment. It was last fall or something. And it's one thing when I go into a new window treatment appointment and the couple is maybe in their 30s. And I, you know, ask them how they heard about us. And they're like, I Googled you. And I'm like, oh, did you know that we were in town before that? And they say no. That's horrible and it pains me, but it's not shocking, right? Because maybe you're only in business. I'm only in town 2, 3, 4 years or whatever. But this was shocking. I went to a person's home. I get in and I start chit-chatting this. I'm like, oh, how many years are you in the house? Oh, she's like, well, we're in this house 35 years. I'm like, oh, okay. And she's maybe 3/4 of a mile from my showroom. And so I said, oh, blah, blah, blah. We're chit-chatting and everything. I said, so how did you hear about us? Thinking she's going to say what I hear over and over. Well, you're right there on Northfield. Like, I drive by you all the time. And she said, oh, you know, my friend so-and-so told you about me, told me about you. And I said, oh. And of course, I knew the friend. So I did a few minutes conversation about that. And I said, but going back, had you heard of our company before that? She goes, never heard of you ever before. Your brain fries. You're in business all these years right next to her. And if she's not looking for the product or service, she doesn't see you, right?
That's right. I was just going to say, if they're not receptive, if they're not ready, so you have to approach people in multiple different ways at multiple different times, because they just may not be available for your information. Right?
It's the truth. If you're not looking for window treatments or interior design, that ad, that Instagram, that everything can go by them over and over and over. But the difference when you say that 3 to 6 touch points or 7 touch points is if hopefully you have been coming across them, you know, their world over and over multiple ways, month and year and year, you know, month in and month out and year out, when they finally enter the marketplace, at least if they hit you again, they might say, I feel like I know this company, right? Like that's what you're hoping for, right?
Yes. But one thing to this point that I've considered and thought about when I was, you know, amping up my marketing, there are people who are not interested and you don't want them to leave you either. So even though they might not be focusing on your message or they don't care at that point in time, you don't want to turn them off either by bombarding them with information that they don't find valuable. Mm-hmm. So you have to deliver content that is going to be, and a message and a promise that is going to interest them or pique them to kind of in the back of their head say, you know, I'm still a little bit interested. I'm not going to open the email, but I'm not going to unsubscribe either. Or I'm not going to unfollow from Instagram, or I'm not going to, you know, ignore and tune out totally. So really figuring out what that message, what that promise is, and then figuring out, you know, relevant and topical content to keep delivering that keeps fresh and engaging to that client base is very, very important.
And so pull that apart a little for us. So thinking about how do we have that conversation, Karen? Do we talk about it as, you know, pertains to Karen Wolf Interiors? This is what I've decided is my strategy for content and delivering relevant information, or is it a general conversation? How do you want to pick that out?
It's well, I can give you an example of what I did.
Okay.
And how I did it. And so for me, what I did was I created a specific series called Design Pop. And in that series, I decided that I was going to go live on Zoom and deliver trend forward and information that was solution based to my clients. And it's evolving and it's still an organic process on exactly what this is and what it means. But when I first started, it was in a Zoom session, and then now it's on Instagram Live. And it's basically, I'm interviewing various different industry experts on how they arrive at the inspiration behind their product or their brands, and then why that's important or impactful in, you know, today's environment. And then we get into specific product-based information. So, and then also, how are we solving a problem for that client in their house? And people can ask us anything in our format. So I'm delivering an educational, you know, it's educational, it's always changing, it's branded, and it is usually information that you can't access or get just by, you know, going on Instagram or reading a publication or a shelter magazine or something like that. So that was my big wow or big idea. But I decided that my content message was trend-based, solution-based information. And that's what my promise or message was, and my brand message was to my base. Someone else, though, may have a very different, you know, perspective. Maybe they are really, their strength is in organizing, and that is their key, you know, element of their business. And so they know that whenever they come into somebody's house, they declutter it. Not only do they do a great design job, but that's the extra. So if they have that extra, that maybe that's where they should be positioning and sending out messaging to target that client base. Maybe somebody else really truly has like a dedicated style. You know, maybe they're Cali Coastal and they've got it down, and that's basically, they know that that's what their clients are looking for, and they really market to a style. Not all designers have a style. Some designers have, you know, really designed for their clients and change it, and that's okay. So thinking about exactly what it is that you can offer, what your promise is to the client and what that message is, I think is, and then how to tweak it in the various different channels is what's important.
Interesting. So this is one of the recurring questions over the years from designers, whether they show up for the interview or I meet them at live events. It's, you know, I've now just call it your Fred Burns only, because, you know, Fred Burns taught us way, way back in the first 6 months of the podcast that you have an only, you have something that you do, and you just really fully expressed it there. For you, it's talking about design trends. That's what you enjoy. That's what you're good at. It, you identify it. And for somebody else, maybe they do design a beautiful room, but they have that little bit of extra of having that organizational sense, and they always can just go in and tweak a room to make it, you know, just function, flow, whatever, better, right? This is your point, is to sit with yourself and figure that out. And so for you, Karen, you're, you know, well experienced, 12, 15 years, 18 years. What are you, 18 years? What are you?
No. Oh, my God. No, don't age me that much. I'm 12 years in, but okay, I do 12. Have, I mean, but I'm, you know, I'm a mature seasoned business person. I did other things before interior design.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Okay. But it's, the thing is that, You. That's exactly it. You're a seasoned designer, and you've come into owning what your only is. So others, if they're not sure of that, have to do a little bit of homework on that. But let's say we take it to the part of having the only, and you did this, you're doing this now, this Design Pop Live IG series on design trends. So tell us about what it is that you're doing. You're going live each day? Are you doing it once a week? Is it 5 minutes? Is it 35 minutes? Give us the layout of what you're doing, what kind of work goes into the background of doing it, and what kind of ROI are you noticing from it?
Okay, all really good questions. So first of all, I will backtrack for a second and just say that I was planning on doing this for a good 2 years. Mm. I just wanted to do a trend series, and I thought it was going to be YouTube. I sat on it. Literal inertia. I made every excuse in the book as to why I couldn't do this. I wasn't young enough. I wasn't this enough. I didn't have the time. I didn't have the focus. I didn't know what the content was going to be. Whatever it was not happening, despite the fact that I even knew I had the expertise to do this. I had the background, and I've done it. Right. I spoke in front of other people. So it is so easy to make these excuses, and that's the first thing I want to mention is you have to step past the fear and step out, because I'm telling you, it works. Once I did it once, it was like riding a bike all over again. You can just keep doing it, and you getting that motivation once you start and you get into that, you know, that frenzy of doing, I think it only comes more naturally, and things, everything else becomes easier. So that's my little motivational message. But besides that,
good for you, Karen. Thank you for sharing that. That's good.
I started the Zoom. What I did was I started with a color series because that was really natural for me. Color has always been one of our hallmarks in my design business. People tend to call us a lot, like, we like your use of color. We like your pops of color. And I knew that that's where I could start really easily without having to do like a massive amount of research. And I didn't need an expert for that. It really came from me. So I put together a Zoom series, and it was like 30 documents. I felt like I was back in college again, cramming for, no, really. I mean, it was like, you know, we're all sitting here. Imagine this is in early March, and we're all freaking out over whether or not we're going to get COVID, and we're in our first quarantine. And I'm literally sitting at my computer at 3 o'clock in the morning, writing a paper. That's basically how I felt. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? So I finished the document. Luckily, I do have a graphic designer. I sent it to her. She cleaned it up. And we came up with a template. And I did this 3 times on Zoom. I then from there went into Facebook, LinkedIn. I went into like 50 different Facebook groups, joined them, and started to promote and created the graphics to promote the fact that I was having the Zoom, and sent it out to my email list twice. I had about 40 to 50 attendees. And I thought that was really, really strong.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. And it was at a dedicated time. It's on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. From then, I did this 3 times, and I was like, oh, this is just killing me. I can't do this format anymore. And I was afraid, really fearful of moving to Instagram Live. I was afraid that, you know, what if I mess up? you know, you're on the spot. What if, like, you know, truthfully, what if you don't look good that day? I mean, there were so many, there was vanity factors in there too. Right. I mean, I'm going to be perfectly honest. And I was really, really nervous about it, but I know that I'm good live. And so I took the leap. And technically, my gosh, the technical aspect of it was killing me. I practiced with my son. We set up a fake Instagram like account so that I could figure out how to go live with him. Yeah. So we did all the little stuff. And then I bought a light thing, you know, that reflects on you.
Yep.
Yeah. The light ring doesn't really do anything.
I know. I don't love it either.
I'm just gonna be honest with you. We played with the phone. Like, should it be up? Should it be down? Should it be this way? Should it be that way? We did all that. Bottom line is, it kind of is what it is. And there is no perfect. And I've accepted that. And I still have technical difficulties on Instagram Live. But the first one that I did, was with Philip Jeffries. And actually, no, Philip Jeffries was Zoom. I take that back. It was with Schumacher. So I did Instagram Live with Schumacher, and it was a success. I mean, she was like you. You know, she can talk, she speaks. We had a conversation. It was personable. And I really felt so comfortable interviewing her and her back to me. So it was very two-way. And we really discussed, like, how Schumacher creates their design trends, how they see the trends moving forward in a COVID environment. We held up, you know, actual pieces of fabric to show people what, you know, what buckets, she calls them destinations, her trends are falling into. And so from there, I knew, like, I was like, okay, I can do this. This is fun. I love this. The passion for it is definitely showing. So I'm going to continue with this. And I really don't know where it's going to take me, except that at least it's fulfilling, you know, my mental health.
Right.
So from that, I've done now four, I think. I interviewed Tabarka Studio. I did Hartman Forbes. And next week I have Inside Out Fabrics from Valdez Weavers. And it hasn't really been a struggle getting the people are contacting me now. Can I come on? You know, we'd love to showcase our brand.
Wow.
I did Circle Lighting last week. So I'm not having that much difficulty getting the branded names. I think that everybody wants an opportunity to engage and to create micro communities around their business. And that's where it's at in Instagram, and to show as many people as possible, you know, what they have to offer. And I'm not pitching just a brand, because I'm getting into the nitty gritty of the reasoning behind what they're doing and the craftsmanship behind it as well. So I think it hopefully is authentic, and people are able to ask anything questions as well. So I'm giving the information out. So I hope that answered some of your questions.
Yes, it's awesome. And so the thing is, though, that you are conducting these, you know, we have to go with our why, right? So your why is to draw luxury level clientele into your firm. These are not industry facing conversations. You are taking it from the standpoint of the art side, the inspiration side, which of course every day of the week is going to be interesting to the designers in the communities as well. There's no question. But your focus is to attract that luxury designer that's familiar with these higher end names like Philip Jeffries and Schumacher, or maybe is just saying, hey, that looks like a luxury brand. Let me, you know, tune into this. The idea is to teach the consumer some of this inspiration, right? Because you want this consumer to say, and I love Karen Wolf. Maybe I should hire her.
That is absolutely correct. So the target market is design lovers. So people who are comfortable with design, who are interested in it, but maybe they still want to hire a designer. So it's an elevated luxury client, and then some, and the design trade. So I am bridging between both. It may be not enough information for, like, really, really seasoned designers, but I think they're getting something out of it. And for the luxury client, it's definitely informational and educational.
Right.
And you know what? I'm learning. So it definitely,
it's helping all around.
It has to be helping designers too. I learned about the quiet ceiling last week. I had no idea what the quiet ceiling was. I was like, wow.
Well, it's just so like cool. Me. I learn something every week too. I don't care how many years I'm in business. I'm like, that's interesting. I didn't know that. And so it's fun when you are able to really have great conversations with people about what they do well, right? It's almost impossible not to learn something.
I love having those conversations. I know that for me, it's hard for me to quantify exactly how this has helped, but this is what I can say. I feel like, first of all, I have more engagement on my Instagram, which is huge. My followers are going up, not by the hundreds. It's still, but the needle is moving in the right direction. And Instagram right now is such a hard nut to crack. So I think that if you are able to gain any new followers and increase your engagement, you're in good shape.
Right.
I've had tons and tons of phone calls for work.
Wow.
And I've even had other designers refer me to work who are, see their style aligns with mine at a high level.
Wow.
So I had another very high level interior designer just refer me to a client that she couldn't take for whatever reasons right now.
Wow.
And it was a nice job. And so there's a camaraderie that's created among my peers because I'm happy to support them too. And you get to a point in your business where there's enough work that goes around and there is a, you know, enough distinction in style that we can all share in the pot.
Absolutely. Now, do you see, first of all, you do this every week, Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern. And
so,
tell us
yes
your Instagram
and no.
handle so that people can find it.
It's at Karen B. Wolf Interiors.
Okay.
So I'm doing it more like every other week.
Okay.
I would like to go to possibly every week, but, and I know that having from you, especially because I'll never remember you said it once, that you have to have consistency in your time
mm-hmm.
and consistency in your programming. So I understand that in order for this to really, you know, probably take full traction, I do need to commit to a weekly schedule and it needs to be at the same time and the same day. Do you agree with that?
I do. But I also have no problem that the training wheels are every other week or that it all I don't to me. It could be once a month. It could be every other week. It could be the first Tuesday of every month. It's just the consistency, whatever it is. And you can always add to consistency, but you should never take away. So if you're going to do every other week on Wednesday, don't start letting it be 3 or 4 weeks in between. Because the people who come to find you and you're not there, there's not that many times that they'll tolerate you're not being there once or twice and then you're like whatever, you know what I mean? So I do what you can do. I think your point is the biggest point. You are running a multi-million dollar design firm, so you have to fit it into what is realistic and commit to it and add if you want to, but don't commit to more than you can do and then take away, because then you'll shoot yourself in the foot.
Absolutely.
Right.
And so there have been some conflicts here and there or schedule changes, but I'm really trying to not let the ball drop, and I will stay with this. I made a commitment to the name and to the concept. So Design Pop has now become a branded series name for me for anything that isn't in the Karen B. Wolf or KBW Interiors business.
Mm-hmm.
So Design Pop. So with the marketing that I did with Design Pop, I also started creating style quizzes, which I know a lot of people have. I did my own version with my own photos and everything. So it is a little bit more, you know, unique to us. But that's a great way to go to your own list and get them to, you know, send it and share it on social media. And then also to post it on Facebook and Instagram and try to get other people, because you're capturing the email name.
Right.
And so from that alone, I probably picked up, you know, 50 to 100 new email names just by doing the style
wow.
quizzes. Yeah. And all of this starts to work. It's like little baby steps and that little micro, you know, changes. And then as a whole, it starts to all come together.
And is there ways, Karen, to, because look, this takes a lot of effort. We're having a conversation, and I that's why I said thank you for explaining the fear that goes into it and the taking the time with the technology and fooling around with the lights and the height of the phone and all of that. But once you get to a point where you're rolling every other week or whatever you decide to do with the program, Is there a way to then repurpose all of this effort? Because it takes a lot to just show up in all the background to get to an IG live that's thought out. Look, we can all put our camera on and start talking. That's what I do. It's like, okay. So it's like, but that's not the way to do a consistent marketing effort. So having put all that work in and knowing that what it takes for your team and everything to put the time out of your client schedule, is there a way to repurpose it to other platforms, or is it really just like, and there it is, that's how it is?
No, there's so many ways. Okay. So now we're going to go back and basically break out the content from each of these sessions and create roundups. So I could do, for example, a circle lighting roundup on the top five, you know, lighting fixtures or design fixtures. You know, the top five trending light fixtures from Circa Lighting, and put that on Pinterest, and that can go into my blog, and then I can do a recap in my email newsletter. So it's creating, this one episode can create multiple kind of like nuggets of content, bites of content that can be used and reappropriated throughout all the marketing channels. It can also spur a new topic for me. So for example, if I interviewed, for example, this is a silly example, but I'll use it anyway, Hardy Plank for exterior trends, which I haven't done, but I could. And maybe that's not that exciting. But truthfully, what could come out of that is, wow, farmhouse decor, the farmhouse concept, it's farmhouse modern is not going anywhere. It's here to stay. And that could come from that. That's just the concept of basically the message. And then from there, I can create a blog post and write about that as a trending, you know, lifestyle concept, and then move that into a roundup of the top five, you know, farmhouse styles that you need to have, and then the top five products that you should be doing. And it leads into a whole conversation about that topic.
Wow. So, but that's also not so easy. In other words, it's not just taking the finished video that you've created and pushing a button and pushing it to another platform. And by the way, I can see the value of doing other things. I'm just making sure that we're understanding that you have maybe, how long are your IG lives? What was the time frame? The interviews.
How many have I had, or how long do they last?
Each one. How long is it? Are you going on?
They're usually between 20 and 40 minutes.
Okay. So in other words, what we're saying then is you're taking your 20 to 40 minute IG live. And for your example, for Circa Lighting, the whole conversation was maybe about where the inspiration comes from and where the technology is and where the plant is and you know, who the artisans are that are involved. But what you're saying is then you have somebody on your team that is now going to say, in the context of this 40-minute conversation, they identified, say, maybe three of the top favorite lights. And so what you'll say is, oh, let's do a Pinterest post that's the top five lights that I love from Circa Lighting. You put that to Pinterest, and when they click to it, it's somehow going to bring them back to your video. Is the video going to the website so that they get multiple repurposing there? Is that what we're saying?
So if it's posted on Pinterest, then that engages and you are attracting new followers, right? So, but yes, you click on that and it takes them back to the website, to the video.
Right.
So and then the video is housed on my website. So I have a page on my website that has all of the Instagram lives and Zooms.
Right. I love it.
And it also sits on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot. That's the thing. It's a lot of work, but it is well worthwhile when you organize it and you do it as a full-fledged system, right?
It has to be a system. And, you know, but you can also take low-hanging fruit. Like, so I went big. You know, I went big. I went out there big in the very beginning. That doesn't mean, though, you can't look at all the low-hanging fruit and figure out from a marketing perspective what you can do with those channels. And there's many that I feel, you know, are still – that can be maximized. For example, Alignable – I don't know if that's a national concept or if it's just here, but Alignable is like LinkedIn. Accept all the contacts and boost your profile. Reach out to everybody with a message. LinkedIn is huge for our own, you know, for reaching design, like kind of an affluent client base, because that's where they reside. It's a business platform.
Right.
So I really, really use LinkedIn. I can't tell you if I've received any inquiries from it, but I think having a presence there that's curated and thoughtful is important. I am on Houzz, which I know is very controversial, but I will not drop Houzz. I do think it helps SEO and search ranking. So that's my theory on it. And I pay for Houzz as a professional. I'm an HGTV professional. So all these touch points are helping, not just, you know, they're helping your SEO when you're basically trying to get searched. And they are helping your visibility as a whole online. Pinterest right now, people are saying, is a very, very important platform. I'm not sure you're going to attract your ideal client through Pinterest. But I do, again, think it helps with SEO search. And then there's your own blog. And that you should, you know, if you don't have one, it's probably helpful to have, because it helps you create content that can then go back to your email base. And your email base is really the golden ticket.
Right. Well, that is the truth. The email is ultimately, and I always say, I don't really care if you have an email of list of 50 or 500 or 5,000. These are people who already, for the most part, theoretically know, like, and trust you. And if you keep delivering, to your earlier point, useful, relevant information to them, when they're ready to enter the marketplace to purchase something, they will think of you.
Absolutely.
Right. And then, tell me a little bit about the in the weeds of the execution of this, Karen. Now, I know that you have, how big is your team at this point?
Before I hired a marketing coordinator, a marketing assistant, basically, once I realized how much work all of this was.
Right.
But I was doing this by myself up until about a month ago. And I have 3 additional employees outside of that employee. So 4 employees, and then we outsource bookkeeping. We outsource CAD at times. We also have it in-house, but we have an additional CAD designer out of house. So we're maybe what I would consider to be, like, if you combined all of it, 5 to 6 full-time people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so whether we take the conversation for just a few minutes on the process with before you hired the marketing coordinator and maybe after the marketing coordinator, because we're going to have designers listening that are going to need to do like you did for the first couple of months, do it on your own. So is it that you said, okay, Karen has this great idea, we're going to execute Design Pop Live IG series and let's brainstorm all the ideas. And now you have all the ideas, but how did you set up the accountability in order to just actually do the work and create it? Did you have weekly meetings with your staff? Did you do it all on your own at 3 o'clock in the morning? What did that look like?
This was 100% on my own, because my designers needed to keep designing.
Yes.
And
okay.
I mean, I could not pull them away and divert them from this. And my job was basically to keep the lead generation coming in. Okay. My job was to keep us alive. So, and this was really critical at that time. I mean, I'm going to go back to something. Well, let me answer your process question first. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, I basically was first, you know, obviously I came up with the idea. Then once I came up with the idea, which is really important. So it needs to be impactful. It needs to have a promise. It needs to cut through the clutter, because there's just so much out there, even with all the eyeballs that are on you. And then once you have all of that, then I created a logo with my graphic designer. And then we started to create, the process was basically, I would figure out my topic, create the content in PowerPoint, send it to my graphic designer, who then cleaned it all up, like I said before. And then I was creating downloadable deliverables in addition to that.
Wow.
So yeah. So if I did color, I would do, you know, say the first one I did was a color conversation on Zoom and it was long. I had people I sent an email out to my user base. I said, send in your questions in advance. Some people did, some people didn't. I put their questions and their pictures into my presentation And then I answered their questions in the presentation at the end, after I went through my formatted version of what I felt was important to discuss. And then after that, at the end, I gave everybody a downloadable color palette, like Karen B. Wolf Interiors free downloadable color palette. With Schumacher, we gave free coloring, like pages that of all their patterns. With Tabarka Studio, we gave out a free tile set of samples to one person who got a question right. And then I was also doing interactive quiz polling in the middle of my Zoom, so that it was engaging and people didn't lose interest. So those were some of the, those are some of the elements that went in, and all of that was generated by me. I mean, I was creating all of this content with a graphic designer who was cleaning it up, but it's possible. It's not like, you know, if I can do it, anyone can do it. It's not that I'm better, more of a genius than anybody else out there, for sure not. I just put my mind to it and did it. So it's
that's a heck of a lot of putting your mind to something and doing it, Karen, I have to say. This is the difference, though. This is the difference between, you know, super success and getting by. This is the difference. It's sitting down and putting your mind to something and executing it, because we can have ideas all day long, but it's what do we put into action and what steps do we take? And for now, when you moved into the point of hiring the marketing coordinator, what does it look like now with the marketing coordinator? Is it a weekly meeting with the two of you looking at the top level? They go back and they create the downloadables for you, or what is that process now?
So with Instagram Live, there's not downloadables. But what I will be moving to with Instagram Lives are giveaways.
Okay.
Which I love. So if I do, for example, a call or an Instagram Live session with somebody who does smart home technology, we'll probably do a Sonos giveaway. And I think, you know, with Circa, I probably should have done this. And in retrospect, moving forward, I really want all of my Instagram Lives to have something tangible that people can get from the session. So with Circle, it could have been $100 to go into the Circa store and spend, you know, whatever it might be. And I think I'm going to try to make it more interactive, like the Zooms, because that element of the Zoom was really, really fun. And ask a question or a quiz question, have people respond to it, because the engagement is what keeps people coming back. And having that engagement, not just the fun conversation between myself and the other person, is really, you know, part of what makes, I think, the process different each time as well, and more unique.
And so when you have this marketing coordinator now, is where is the delineation of duties? Are you coming up with the ideas? And like I said, they're running along and figuring out the phone conversations to get the giveaways and make the questions. Like, where are you at with that?
So where I'm at with that is we're going to create a calendar for the whole year and plan out, you know, basically the buckets of categories that I could bring speakers into. And then she and my PR agency are doing the outreach to get this is probably very similar to what you do, Luann, right? Because you have all these designers come in, who want to be on your show. And there's a process on how they have to submit to you. And then you decide whether or not their content and their topic is relevant to your audience. So it's the same kind of concept that I need to be creating for this. And then once I calendar out the whole year, then we have a formatted letter that we will be sending out for outreach. And then when I do the show prior to that, typically I talk to the person for a half an hour in advance. I get all of their graphics, a headshot, and then I create the graphics on my end to then promote on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And my email newsletter. So those are the four locations where I promote this in advance.
I'm laughing because you are just recreating a podcast on Instagram.
Basically, that's what I'm doing. And I thought about doing a podcast and I was like, you know, I can, but this is visual. Like people want to see.
For design, it's so much nicer to see it. Absolutely.
Yeah, they need to see this.
And you're, you know, to for the consumer, I think your end goal. That's the thing. The end goal is to attract the luxury client to you. It's terrific if your designer colleagues follow along and learn something or inspired to either, you know, patronize the brand that you've exposed them to, or to duplicate what you're doing to their niche market. But the idea is that you are trying to engage the consumer client and getting them into your process. Question for you. Do you see the development of it as progressing to Karen doing solo episodes like you did with A Color, or do you just, is this interview yes. format so good? Okay. So you do see doing that, right?
Yep. I do see it. I see it as maybe I open up to like an ask anything on a topic, mm-hmm. you know, one time a month, or so I also can see this moving into if we ever are out of our houses again and in the real world. I mean, I could go to a trade show and interview live and on the spot there as I see emerging an interesting product. So there's so many different ways to take this. But right now, you know, we're all, the home is so important especially because of this pandemic, but people are looking and hungry for information on ways to make their home office better, you know, to bring color in their house in small ways, to how do they do that gallery wall? You know, how do they look for art? So small things go a long way in this COVID environment, and probably in any environment.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's, let me tell you something. I think this is outstanding, Karen. It just, I know what a Herculean effort this is to pull this together and to do all this, especially while running a business.
Yeah.
It's not like your business is social media. You heard me say it on the show 1,000 times. When we wanted to advertise to people, we used to just put an ad in the Star Ledger. And now you have to, you know, do a podcast, you have to do an Instagram, and you have to do a Facebook, and you have to do all this other stuff. It's nuts, right?
It's crazy. Yeah. It really is, but it's really the only way today because there's just too much media clutter.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes. And it is a fun way. And like you said earlier, it is a relevant way. And when you have great content, and I guess that's the other thing too, is to really brainstorm what are you going to do each week, right? And it sounds like you really are doing this. It does sound like the way you're doing it with the podcast. It's thought out. It's not on the fly. We're figuring this out. We're getting the criteria. We're making sure that the content is good. We're intentionally sharing it in these places. It's the next level of just showing up in Instagram, which, by the way, is a great thing to do too, right? We know how many people are just showing up and sharing in a very candid way their process, and that kills it too. There's a need for all of it, right?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, just a point on Instagram and in general, just showing up, I was hiding behind my logo.
Mm.
And even though I had a really big brand and I had a, you know, a very large Instagram following, I would never put myself in the mix. And even in stories, very, very rarely. Mm. And I feel like this really forced me to put my personality to the brand. And I think it's helped.
Yes.
And I'm sure it will help all of the designers, because most of us are in this business, not only because you have a beautiful eye and you can create, but because you have a way of interacting and working with people, and people, you know, respond to you. So I am sure that showing up will do wonders for their businesses.
Mm, I love it. Karen, so outstanding. I mean, and to your point, you know, you recognized in Elisa last year how she was willing to be vulnerable and to really look at the problem head on, and why could she be at that point in her career and not have a full pipeline. It's the same thing here. After your 12 years in business and faced with this pandemic, that you were willing to just sit and say, okay, designer, keep the ship flowing. I, you know, with what's going on, I've got to make waves and make something else happen. And instead of just wishing and hoping, you actually took major, major action in order to propel your business forward. It's outstanding. I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it was very bold. I have to say, it was very bold. Maybe to someone else, it's not as bold, but to me, it was pretty bold. Like,
no.
I still can't believe I'm doing this sometimes. Yeah. I'm like, what am I doing? Am I crazy?
That's outstanding. I absolutely love it. Congratulations so much. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us today, Karen.
Thank you, Luann.
Thank you.
So, just like Vicky Serrani, who we met last week on the show, as well as so many other top-tier interior design entrepreneurs, Karen did not hesitate for a moment once she saw that her business, like all other businesses, were in for a major shock. You heard her. She kept her team working on design as she brainstormed and created new ways to market her firm, to keep her firm top of mind, to keep her firm safe and thriving no matter what was going on around her. This is exactly what separates the average business owner from the exceptional business owner. Decisive leadership combined with a willingness to think outside the box. And to Karen's point, a willingness to push herself outside of her own box, right? She explained that she was nervous about being on camera, but she knew it was a worthy idea. So she learned the tech, she practiced the how to do it. She didn't wait for perfection. She launched. Yay, yay, yay. That's all I have to say. I think it's amazing. And to the point of how she said at first it was a little daunting figuring it all out. But once she did it once, it was okay. I do this now. So keep this in mind. Anytime that you're facing something that feels a little bit bigger than maybe what you're comfortable with, one or two times doing it, and all of a sudden you forget why you were afraid to do it. At least try. That's all it is. At least try. All right. Now I'll say, be sure to also go back and listen to our friend Elisa Grayer's episode as well, number 451. If Karen didn't convince you of the absolute necessity for constantly marketing your firm, I'm pretty sure listening to Elisa's episode will do exactly that. So that's number 451. All right. Huge thanks to MyDoma Studio as well. MyDoma Studio is another company who is always looking for new ideas, new ways to help you be more productive and, by extension, more profitable. From QuickBooks integration to time tracking to communication management, MyDoma Studio is built by a designer for designers. Get your free trial started today and see for yourself all of the ways you can improve your design process by using MyDoma Studio. Go to mydomastudio.com/awelldesignedbusiness. Okay. Now, Karen mentioned her design style quiz. Did you know that I have a quiz for you too? I do. I hardly talk about it. I always forget to talk about it. But you can find it at thedesignerquiz.com. Thedesignerquiz.com. So here's the thing. The quiz is fun to take, but the best part is that when you get your results, whether you learn whether you are a hashtag baby designer or a hashtag rising designer or a hashtag seasoned designer, when you get your results, you also get from me the top actions that I suggest that you take in your business that day, that week, and that month. All right. And then you also get my personally selected of episodes that I think you should be listening to if you miss them to move the needle in your business for exactly where you are at that stage that the quiz says you are. OK, I put a lot of time and effort into this, really did go through the roster of all the shows and think about not only first thinking about the things that I should think you should do that day, that week, that month, but then thinking about the shows that support the activities that I suggest that you do. Okay. So I encourage you to take that quiz, thedesignerquiz.com. If nothing else, because I'm often told that with more than 550 episodes, you're not sure where to start. So this will get you started. All righty. I am grateful you show up, and I'm so glad to be doing this with you. Later this week, we have my next conversation in the Black Lives Matter series. I hope you are tuning in for these conversations. Our friends are taking their time to speak from their heart, to teach us what we have not seen, even though it was right in front of us. I know I have learned so much already, and I know there is so much more to learn and to do. Please join me in making a change. It will take all of us doing our part, but together we can do it. Okay? All right. Thanks so much for joining me today. Decide to be excellent. Thank you so much for joining me again today. This podcast is a production of Window Works, your resource for custom window treatments and awnings. To learn how we can help you on your next interior design project, go to www.windowworks-nj.com. And if you're interested in working with me on your business, either through masterminds or one-on-one coaching, or you want to know how to get my book, The Making of a Well-Designed Business, or you just want to know what's going on in the podcast land and where I'm going to be, all of that is found at luannenigara.com. Thank you so much. Have an excellent day.